This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to children in Northern Ireland about peace, when he said, "Those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back." Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. We got a lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. We're going to be pulling up Scott Adams here in a second from the Scott Adams Show. It's such a big news day, and I think we're kind of swapping similar stories, so we want to try and get on board with all of you so that you're all hearing the same thing. I think it's going to be some fascinating dialogue between the two of us about the particular stories, because I'm going to bring up the topic about Gorsuch and, you know, Roberts and what's going on with the Supreme Court. And again, one of the big ones is this DACA decision. It's kind of a no-brainer that they did not have the authority to come up with DACA to begin with. And to me, it's just kind of like a no-brainer case. But, you know, they went 5-4 against it. And so statutory authority is what they're talking about. That Obama did not have the statute to bring it about. So therein lies a problem. So if they can't, you know, if the court can't see that, there's something afoul. I smell something really foul going on. That's just kind of what I'm thinking. Anyway, we got a lot of other things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio, and the call-in line is 215-867-8255. We'll be talking to Scott Adams here just momentarily as we get everything queued up here for Scott. And schedule a call. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to start a call and go from there. So anyway, welcome Scott Adams here in a second, but I want to make sure we get the... here he is. Scott, are you here? Are you with us, Scott? Let me see here. Hang on, Scott. Let me see what I got going on here in my systems folder. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, you can? Okay, great. I want to make sure we got that all taken care of. Okay, you're there. All right. Hey, listen, big news day. And I was sitting here going through some of the stories, and I said, I bet you're probably covering similar things, such as the DACA decision, such as the state of the 51st state decision, or at least the idea of it, another Pelosi power grab, and of course, what's going on in Atlanta. Just a few things to top it off.
Yes. And by the way, when I first came on, I didn't know we were live on air, but
here we are. Here we are.
Yeah, no, there's a lot going on. I'll tell you, the D.A. Howard in Atlanta is up for re-election, and he's got a $140,000 scandal for embezzling some funds inappropriately to help supplement his salary. And then also he's got several charges against him for sexual harassment. And this guy is completely desperate. And it just goes to show you what a Democrat would do to you know, basically go after anyone for political gain.
Yeah, you know, we had it up on the Red State Talk Radio at the very beginning of the 9 o'clock hour for you, and I never got into the story, but I said there's got to be some color behind this. So let's go down some of the sexual harassment charges. He's got about four or five of those. And I did not get the embezzlement part. I'm sorry, I left that one out. What's with the embezzlement part?
Okay, so that's something that was reported up on the Gateway Pundit, and basically he's guilty of embezzling some funds to the tune of $140,000. The guy's in big trouble, and so it says here, okay, so there it is right here. Dirty Fulton County District Attorney Paul Howard is under investigation for funneling $140,000 in Atlanta funds to supplement his salary. So that's another one, you know? I mean, this guy, his career is done. You know, that stoppage, I mean, that whatever, people don't realize, they didn't see the whole tape, but after the officer, Rolf, shot the guy, because the guy turned around and shot a
taser.
Gun. By the way, do you know about that taser? You know what happened 2 weeks ago?
No.
2 weeks ago, D.A. Howard said on videotape that the taser that they were talking about is a deadly weapon. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks ago, he said that. So then the guy, Brooks, turns around and he shoots a deadly weapon at the police officer, who then pulls out his deadly weapon and kills the guy or shoots him. Now, they said, well, he was shot in the back or whatever, but we saw it on tape. What you didn't see on tape, but was released later, was that the officer that shot Brooks actually was then, breathe for me, Brooks, breathe for me, and tried to save Brooks's life and called the medics and, you know, did everything he could to try to save that guy's life.
Right.
They don't show that in the mainstream media. What they're trying to do is spin another racial division, tension, you know, for political purposes. They'll stop at nothing. This should, you know, this should be a situation where it's addressed apolitically. It has nothing to do with Trump. But as you and I both know, everything has to do with Trump because they're desperate to get him out of power.
Truly. And now you got Bolton on the bandwagon, which is just unbelievable. You even getting some things out of MSNBC that are critical of Bolton and his comments about the president, which is just another sad thing going on.
Well, the best tweet of the day for Bolton was the one that Donald Trump did. Again, Donald Trump works alone. There's not a Republican out there that's helping Trump. Trump is doing it. He's a one-man band, and he's kicking the butts out of just about everybody in the establishment. But this tweet says it all, Paul. Says it all, Paul. Says it all. So when wacko John Bolton went on Deface the Nation and so stupidly said that he looked at the Libyan model for North Korea, all hell broke out. So he was looking at the Libyan model. We're going to explain what the Libyan model is in a second.
Yeah.
Jong-un, who we were getting along with very well, went ballistic, just like his missiles, and rightfully so. He didn't want Bolton anywhere near him. Bolton's dumbest of all statements set us back very badly with North Korea. Even now, I asked him, what the hell were you thinking? He had no answer and just apologized. That was early on. I should have fired him right then and there. So, you know, Gaddafi was cooperating with the United States, and then Hillary Clinton and her just brainless mind went in and killed the guy and then laughed about it and said, we came, we saw, he died.
He died, right. And that's, of course, exactly what aggravated when you're talking about the North Koreans and Ong. I mean, wouldn't you be aggravated too? I mean, my God, if and of course, that's the whole thing about Bolton. He says these things, he doesn't think about them, and he certainly doesn't like Trump.
Right. I mean, and why would he take that position? You know, I defended Bolton. Bolton appeared on Brian Kilmeade's show like once a week for the 5 years. You know, he kind of fooled a lot of us in a lot of ways. And we gave him the benefit of the doubt. Even JJ, who is one of the Red State, you know, talk show hosts later in the day, used to have Bolton on. He was accessible. He was likable. But, you know, this is unprecedented. What he has done is he's basically taken his spite because he got fired and he was unhappy about the fact that he got thrown out, that people like Lighthizer, you know, ran circles around him. Lighthizer and Steve Mnuchin, who would go on these foreign trips and negotiate deals leveraging sanctions and tariffs and military strength against our adversaries. They were always at part of an array of a security national security team. And Bolton was part of it. And Bolton would sit there with his notepad and take notes and do what he needed to do. But for the most part, Trump never had a very kind word to say about him, that there was a lot of inside discrediting of Bolton, who couldn't get a Senate confirmation through the Senate. So they gave him a job where he didn't need one.
Mm-hmm.
What I understand, Trump never liked his stupid mustache either. So there was that, you know, and Trump always had reservations about Bolton, a guy that walks around wearing a mustache like that and, you know, a bit of a dork. But Lighthizer just yesterday
slammed
said,
him.
None of that ever happened. I don't know what he's talking about. And Lighthizer's the kind of guy, you could just tell this guy is not practiced at politics. He just speaks truth to power. There was no lie coming out of Lighthizer. I could read body language, and I can tell you that Lighthizer said was the truth. And what he said was whatever Bolton was talking about in that meeting never happened.
It's amazing. You know, Bolton sees an opportunity to make money by supporting the anti-Trumpers and this playing into the whole cabal business. In an election year, of course. And he knows he's going to make some money, but it's going to die a very, very bad death. The same is with this DA Paul Howard. He's going to, a death politically. I think they're going to both die very sudden and political deaths. Painful, though, it'll be $140,000. Wow, that's pretty cool, isn't it? But the other thing too is that with John Bolton, he has really always been an outlier for so many people. But you know, if you think about it, he was with two Republicans before that. He was with Bush and Bush and Bush, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well. Perhaps. I think he goes pretty far back.
Yeah.
But W fired him.
Right.
And, you know, so that's definitely just that whole situation. You know, it's unprecedented, Paul. Never has an NSA threw their boss under the bus. No, never has an NSA ever gone out and wrote a book immediately and put a book together like Bolton did. Never. In the history of America, has a national security advisor. These are generally very serious men. They never, ever went political and threw their country under the bus. And that's exactly what he's doing, because every conversation that he had with President Trump was privileged,
right?
Was top secret, was classified, and he violated every part of it. Now, the question is, Why did the DOJ wait so long? Because even Judge Napolitano, who I'm not a big fan of these days, but was on today and said they waited too long. It's already gone to print. The judge is going to ask, why did you wait till it went to print before you took these measures?
Yeah, so that brings up another question. What's going on over the DOJ? We got Bill Barr, and we've got John Durham. What's going on there? I mean, some of the stuff that they should have out should be out now. And I'm wondering what the delay is. I've had a lot of saber rattling going on there, but I'm a little bit long in the tooth on what they're doing over there with some of these charges. And some of it's pretty obvious, and it certainly would command it needs to be out right now.
Yeah, one of my favorite writers is a woman named Julie Kelly. She writes for The American Greatness. And she said, where's John Durham? Since Barr appointed Durham, we've watched Robert Mueller testify, endured a concocted impeachment charade, survived a pandemic, witnessed riots, looting, protests as the country melts down. This is absurd. Justice delayed is justice denied. And she's right. And you got Lindsey Graham, opening his mouth, but nothing's really coming out, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a charade. It's just a puppet dance, where people are acting like they're doing stuff. It's the same kind of witchcraft that's been going on in Congress for the last century. Let's just act like we hate each other, but then we're going to go out and have drinks later, right?
Yeah, and the thing is that here you have Lindsey Graham's going to pull in all these people for this Senate hearing. And 2 days ago, I was going through the Ukraine file, and I pulled up a 2016 picture of, guess who? Lindsey Graham standing amongst Ukrainian soldiers. Really?
What year was that?
This was 2016.
Oh, right. Those pictures are floating
with
around.
Amy Klobuchar and John McCain. Yeah. And I thought to myself, oh, there's Lindsey Graham, and now he's pulling all these people in. So I said, wait a minute here. Lindsey, well, how far are we really going to get in these hearings? And was it going to be a show thing to try and substantiate the behavior of all these people and justify it to the American people? Or is there any truth that's really going to come out of these hearings?
Well, it's pretty sad that the one group, the Republicans Against Trump, that it's like R-A, whatever, T, their main ad features Lindsey Graham all through it. I mean, Lindsey Graham is just hated Trump and then praised Biden to the hilt, right?
Right.
Almost tears with rejoicing. God's never created a better man than Joe Biden. Really? Joe Biden is as crooked as the day, is long. He's so crooked. And, now we know that the Ukraine investigation was riddled with bribes and corruption. They're still a corrupt country. It doesn't matter what leader they have over there right now. Ron Johnson needs to get to the bottom of it. When? You know what I keep hearing? I keep hearing promises. I keep hearing subpoenas. I keep hearing all these things. But you know what I'm not hearing? I'm not hearing dates. I'm not hearing dates for the Ron Johnson thing. I even thought it was interesting that Tucker Carlson 3 days ago basically said about Google censorship. He says, where's Mike Lee in all this? He threw Mike Lee under the bus because Mike Lee heads up a committee that could go after Google and YouTube. And he also threw Collins under the bus, who's now running for the Senate seat for Loeffler. But Collins was the hero in the Judiciary Committee, co-chairing with Nadler, the guy from Georgia. And he said he spearheads a commission in the House that he could do something about, what the censorship in Google. So they're not doing anything. They're talking a cheap talk, but the money talks and and they're just basically walking. I mean, but the money is talking. And that's what's happening is these lobbyist groups that front these big organizations that are, financed to the hilt are literally having their final say in Congress. And that goes across the board. They're not going to destroy their own. Why? Because their own has the dirt and goods on them. Well, remember what Biden said? He said, something to the effect when Lindsey Graham came out and said something about Biden said, he's going to rue the day that he did this. And Biden threw out that almost like a death threat to Lindsey Graham, because they got them all dead to rights. They got each other. It's mutual assured destruction. But what Lindsey Graham doesn't realize is that he's going to serve a purpose to win that seat back, continue to win that seat in right. South Carolina. And after the day after that election, when Trump wins, Lindsey Graham's going down. And then the governor of South Carolina is going to replace Lindsey Graham
yep.
with a better conservative.
Yep, and he needs to go down. And, you know, the thing is what I'm seeing across the national landscape is the Californication of the Republican Party, or California Republican Party is what you're seeing right now with the Lindsey Grahamites. This is what we've had in the California Republican Party out here. They're all never Trumpers. They hate Donald Trump. You know, I'll give you a classic example. Out here we have 53 seats of congressional seats, because we have 40 million people. And the balance right now is that we have 8 seats that are Republican, and all the rest are Democrats. And, you know, the Democrats have so successfully whittled it down, so we only have a few seats left in Congress. And, of course, this has been all by the programming and the planning that they've done over the years. But my point is that this last primary, which was a big mistake for the Democrats, they decided they're going to run the primary and advance it 3 months so they could get about a $54 billion package of bonds and so on. Well, the bonds were voted down. They were voted down primarily because the election system was so scammed. They wanted the vote to go down because why? Newsom could not fulfill the money obligations of the bonds. In other words, he was trying to go out and he was trying to get international banking institutions to fund the bonds. And they all told him no, because California is too much of a risk. So they tanked that. Well, in the tanking, they also screwed themselves, because advancing the primary 3 months gave everybody the opportunity to campaign heavily going into the general election three more months. Now, this is a big problem for the Democrats out here, because people are starting to find out and ask a lot of more questions, and there's more information coming about the fraudulent voter applications, which, by the way, Newsom tried to throw his edict out there that everybody's going to get mail-in ballots, which was just struck down by the courts on Friday. But my point is that we have an opportunity to pick up 22 seats, Scott, in California. Now, we ran the numbers, and we looked at it and said, you know, you could pick up 22 seats out here in California. And ran it by a whole bunch of people. Now, we're really going to – we want to make sure that that happens, because New California will benefit by this. That's what we're talking about. So here's what happened. The California Republican Party, they come out, and they're supporting 4 candidates. There's only 4 that can possibly win election in the House. That's their position. We've got 22 that we can look at. But here's the other thing. The California Republican Party only has, at the beginning of the election cycle, only had $1.5 billion. Nobody's contributing to the California Republican Party. And that's because they all hate Trump. And these 4 that are running that they think could win, never Trumpers. That's what's happening to the national level right now.
Have you figured out why it is that people hate Trump? I can't figure it out. I mean, isn't he like the godsend of all candidates? I mean, I've never seen anything so great as Donald Trump as a president of the United States. He's like what we've dreamt about our entire, you know, lives, and yet we finally got it. And because he's a little rough around the edges, people just can't get it. They don't get it. They just don't get it.
Well, it's also power structures, as you know. He's an originalist constitutional type of guy. He believes in the people's rights and people's authorities, and he wants to have everybody, the people, have their own just constitutional authorities. And these people don't believe that. You know, they don't believe that it's power to the people.
He's a federalist. He wants to give states back their rights. You know, that's what it was all about. It was all about states competing with each other. When states compete with each other, they have an incentive to do right. And so if you're not happy with your state's leadership, You can go to a different state, but you don't have to give up your citizenship. That's the beauty of it. So just leave. Just get up and move your business and leave. And that's the beauty of, you know, states' rights, which, you know, is peculiar because the executive order on the Atlanta case or in police reforms in general. By the way, Paul, I think that's somewhat of a ruse. I think Trump in election years placating to the middle and knowing full well that the immunity poison pill that the Democrats want to take away from the cops is going to be a deal breaker and that will never pass. And so he's basically going to get the credit for giving up something and addressing the situation. Yet the police are not going to be really disenfranchised at all. The other point is I don't think it's the business of the president of the United States to work on local law enforcement. I don't think it's his issue.
It is.
I think it's a state issue and a local municipality issue.
That's correct. I absolutely 100% agree with you. And again, everybody likes to look to Donald Trump for all the answers when it has to come from us, you know, out here in the States. And this is exactly what I've been telling people about New California. We can't rely upon Trump. We can't rely on the federal government. We have to do these things ourselves to make the change that we need to make a new state. And of course, Trump likes that. That's what I think would appeal to him, is that he realizes our enthusiasm is in that direction, that we want to become a competitive state within the 50 other states of the union. That's our goal. But of course, California doesn't want you to do that at all. No, they want to dominate. And of course, their luck is kind of running thin right now.
Right. And then you know, so, I mean, there's just so many things that we can address. I mean, you know, what's interesting, Paul, is that I woke up and I saw these riots in Portland. And I was like, okay, who cares? Who cares? They just want to tear their city up. Who cares? I mean, it's gotten to the point where cities are being overtaken by, you know, Black Lives Matter. You know, people ought to know, and I tell this to my audience all the time. I'm sure you tell it to yours. Black Lives Matter. I say MAGA Lives Matter, by the way. MAGA Lives Matter. Right. You know, Eric Swalwell actually said in the chamber of the House that, you know, can the Republicans say Black Lives Matter? And I yield to the Republicans. So, you know, Matt Gaetz came up and said, yeah, well, say the all lives matter, because I could certainly say Black Lives Matter and White Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter. But can you say all lives matter? And he said, I yield back. You know, I take my yield back. So, you know, the point is that people don't understand that the Minnesota Freedom Fund pocketed $30 million. They gave $200,000 to the bail, and they were ripping people off. You have to understand that Act Blue is the financing arm that donates cash, distributes cash to the candidates. And they're all run by white people, and they're white 20, 30-year-old people that are making $300,000 and up, Paul. Every one of them are making anywhere from $200,000 to $450,000 just from their Act Blue salaries. It's about $5-7 million in salaries. Now, where does Act Blue get their money? Well, in large part, they got a whip to the mule called Black Lives Matter, who's down in the streets breaking windows and fighting cops. It's almost like it's a slaves and plantation owned.
Exactly.
So the Black Lives Matter is drumming up the donors. They're basically drumming up donations by their sweat and blood. And then Act Blue, because when you go to Black Lives Matter, you click on donate, it goes to Act Blue. Act Blue takes the money, pays all these fat salaries, and distributes the money to Joe Biden and the DNC.
And the DNC.
Chain of command.
Well, this whole riot thing is really their big fundraiser going into the election.
Black people to do it.
It's the plantation mentality. I'm going to play this. I think I'm going to play it here. So hang on. The Gets Swalwell. I'm really not a fan of Eric Swalwell. And neither are New Californians, by the way. Oh, it couldn't be played.
Swallows well, but yeah, I'm sorry.
No, don't say that. Anyway, no, it's not going to load for me. I think they took it down already. So Yeah, that was Eric Swalwell and Matt Skedka. And of course, it was, can anyone on the Republican side say unequivocally, Black Lives Matter? And Getz said, unequivocally, all lives matter. And he took it rather personally, as he should, or as he would, anyway. Yeah, this whole thing about the Black Lives Matter thing is absolutely over the top as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, now we get into the other things, too, you know, that every time there's these kind of, they throw out all these race cards and they lose so total much perspective. And we're talking about historical elements now, like the statues and all that other good stuff. And one of the things that, you know, I have Aunt Jemima syrup and pancake stuff in my kitchen. And, you know, if you take a look at who Aunt Jemima was, you know, remember she had the mammy thing going on with the scarf and all that other good stuff. But there's a real history behind her in terms of, you know, not the typical racially stereotyped woman. She was a millionaire in her time after what she had done and what she had created. It amazes me how these people want to throw out that kind of Black history.
And she was a millionaire of her time, and she fought, you know, she was a hero. And to discredit her the way they did, here, did you know that Aunt Jemima is based on Nancy Green, a woman born into slavery who, upon being freed, created a brand based on her renowned cooking skills? Quaker bought and used her likeness. She died in 1923 as one of the first Black millionaires in America. Wow.
And, shocking. You know,
they've done that to other statues where there were people that were fighting to free the slaves and gave their lives for that cause. And they tore those statues down and defaced them. I just, you know, these people don't even know what they're protesting for, Paul. You know, that's the saddest part of it. And they're being used by Act Blue and the Democrats, just like they always have. You know, there was an African studies woman, a Black woman, that questioned why it is that they wore those kente cloths, you know, and did that, because those were, some of them were tribal cloths that meant something. And they totally discredited the value of those cloths and what they truly mean to make a political point. And again, for what reason? Because Trump has 41% support, whether it be strong likely or moderate to medium likely, from Black communities. And that's according to Rasmussen, one of the more accurate pollsters, says that Trump's up to 41% where Black people don't really have a problem with him and like him. And there's 23% that love him. So, I mean, that number is so high that they're trying to chip away at it, just like Trump's economy was so strong that these liberal mayors and governors are trying to exploit COVID to try to keep you from going out and buying a shirt. Because no matter how much we're open, we could go and we can maybe sit outside and get a drink or a sandwich. But what we can't do is we can't go into a store and buy a shirt or a pair of shoes or try on a pair of sunglasses. And you can't do that on Amazon. You got to try some of this stuff on. You have to buy a suit. You got to fit it, right? So these are the stores that really are going to explode once they reopen up. And that 17.7% retail boom, which they predicted it was 8%, that just goes to show you how wrong the polls are. Yep. And the models are. When they say that Michigan has Biden up 16 percentage points, completely wrong.
Completely.
Can't be right. The models are just models that are as wrong as COVID. And so what's happening is that 17.7% is just because of the states that opened retail. That's the minority. I still live in a place where I can't go to a store and buy a shirt. Okay? So there's a yep. lot of places like that. New York City, LA, and a lot of other places. When they open up, I guarantee you, you add on to the stimulus that's already going into place, $10 trillion all told, and then the quantitative easing from the Federal Reserve, and then when these retail shops open up and the manufacturing starts to supply and supplement, you're going to see stock markets go over 30,000. There's going to be a spike and then a correction.
Let me give you the Rasmussen report today. It shows. Now, this has been a trend upwards because he's beat down to 41 or 42%. Now, all of a sudden, over the days, we've gotten 47%. Today shows that 47% of likely voters approve of Donald Trump, 51% disapprove. You know, the thing is that his approval and disapproval rates have really basically been steady. And, you know, sometimes it's going to bump up to like 48% and that sort of thing, 51%, 52%, you know, in the days past. But he's never really broken that, you know, that drop below 40%. And again, in his whole time, which tells me, and Rasmussen, I believe, is a little bit better tell, that in the times of these riots, he didn't drop down much at all.
Right. And eventually the truth is going to come out.
That's
about
right.
Exploitation of what Black Lives Matter is truly about. And a lot of other things. I mean, a lot of people don't know. They're trying to make heroes out of a lot of these thugs. You take the kid that punched the 92-year-old and she fell.
Oh, yeah.
Arrested 104 times or something like that. And he's still walking the streets. How can that be? And you take Raynard Brooks. You know why he was on probation? He beat the crap out of his wife.
We failed to mention that.
Yeah.
You know.
And the DA is sitting there, DA Howard is sitting there like, he was jovial? Give me a break. There he is fighting back, shooting a taser at a law officer. You know, what the DA should be saying is, I want to speak to the Black community and people of color and whatever. I want to speak to anybody that's pulled over by law enforcement. You know, don't resist arrest. You know, that's what he should have done. And by the way, nothing for nothing, but the Atlanta police force is 58% people of color.
Right.
It's minority white.
Right.
It just so happens that there is two cops that happen to be white, but that's a minority. So Atlanta's, it's not a racial thing is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is just... Yeah, what it is.
It doesn't. I wanted to touch on the other thing, too, because, you know, the person I despise and one of the people I despise the most out of this whole thing that's coming from the left is Anthony Fauci. And, you know, everything he has said has been wrong. Everything he has done has been a lie. And yet we're still following along with this. In fact, we're sort of entwined ourselves with the New California thing with a couple of these health leaders that we're trying to get approval of get doing things, which I find absolutely hysterical. Anyway, but you know, he's come out so many times and not been truthful about what has gone on with the coronavirus pandemic. And now is this article that I saw in Gateway Pundit this morning, Fauci made coronavirus pandemic worse by lying about the masks. And it said here that they are not effective in preventing general public from catching coronavirus, but if healthcare providers can't get them to care for sick patients, it puts them and our communities at risk, Adam wrote on a Twitter. It says many of the White House coronavirus task force echoed Adams, especially Anthony Fauci, an immunologist and director of the National Institute of Allergies, who serves on the task force. There is no reason for anyone right now in the United States with regard to coronavirus to wear a mask. That's what he told the Spectrum News in D.C. on February 14th. And now we have to wear masks all the time? What's wrong with that picture?
Well, he said in an interview on the street that the reason why he said it at the time was he didn't want to create false panic. And what he said was that he didn't want people to hoard the N95 masks because he knew that the health care workers needed them the most. So they did it he did it because of that reason. But here's the kicker. What he could have said was, we encourage you to buy masks. We could have prevented people from buying the N95 masks. They could have been off limits. And he could have suggested you can knit a mask, you can make a mask by cutting a triangle, you can wear a scarf. It was cold then, by the way. It was very cold. So you could wear a scarf. We encourage you to wear scarves and things like that. You don't need to go out and buy masks. In fact, we need to reserve those for the health care. So well, we don't want you wearing masks, but we want you to wear scarves. You could put this kind of mesh, this kind of mesh, this kind of mesh, wear scarves. He never said that.
Right.
So he can't have it both ways. He can't say, well, the reason why we were lying to you then was to protect healthcare workers. We had a, you know, duty to do that. Well, he could have said there was an alternative method or way, and he didn't. So he can't say that lie and get away with it, because he could have actually given us tips on what we should be doing. And he and by the way, you know, de Blasio in New York, March 15th, is just 3 months ago, said, go out to the movies. You don't need to wear a mask. There's no need to social distance. Enjoy the movies. I'll give you my own list of movies to watch. Have fun. That's what he said March 15th. Of course, we know Nancy Pelosi, as of late as February 24th, was in Chinatown bragging about, you know, have fun, go out, intermingle.
Right.
And it was Trump that on January 30th, you know, issued the travel ban from China. You know,
the best thing he could have done, by the way.
But you, Paul, look, we got new information that says it doesn't spread on surfaces like we thought it did. It doesn't morph into something we didn't expect.
Right.
The morphing process is everything we expected. And if you're asymptomatic, it doesn't really spread. Only if you're coughing, sneezing, and have a fever are you more likely to spread it. And so all of those new things are true, and yet, yeah, you're right. I can't even now. It used to be that I could walk into the CVS, and it was optional whether I wore a mask. Now, I can't even walk into the CVS. I'm not allowed to walk in. I can't walk in without a mask. They've gotten ultra, ultra strict on it. So I don't know why it's gotten stricter. And I believe that these numbers – remember, Johns Hopkins is funded by Bloomberg.
Yes.
And these numbers, I heard a state leader, and I think it was Florida, said, I don't know where they're getting these numbers. We're not seeing the same thing. And in Minneapolis, in the wake of the riots, there was no spike. It's been 3 weeks. There's been no spike. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch.
Well, you know, much of the information comes from various doctors and other associates from the University of Washington. University of Washington is funded by Paul Soros Grant Foundation and George Soros Grant Foundation. And that's one of the big key places in which you get a lot of these healthcare providers out of. And many of them have gotten these Soros Foundation grants, and they're just out there spewing it by the thousands to everybody about why you need these things when you really don't need them. You know, one of the interesting things is Fauci says, this is in Breitbart this morning, Fauci, unless players are in a bubble, it would be very hard to see how football is played this fall.
Well, I don't think many people are going to be watching it if they're going to be taking the knee. That's one thing.
No, I know. That's the test. That's
football,
the test.
But Trump's comments on Kaepernick. But again, that's Trump's masterful play.
Right.
Because Trump doesn't like Kaepernick. And he did stick to his guns about taking a knee. But he said, look, if he can make the team, he can make the team. So he diffuses the hook. He takes away the hook that he knows the Democrats want to grab onto to attack him. And he's pretty slick that way.
Yeah, and if Kaepernick makes the team, he makes the team. And, you know, there's other issues about Kaepernick that would also play well if Kaepernick has straightened out his act and plays like he played when he first came to the NFL. I don't know if that's going to happen, though. He's got that influence of the – remember, he was groomed by the Obamas several years into his career.
You heard that big time.
Yep. Yeah. We had that one on. So anyway, I think Fauci's trying to put a stall to football. I think it needs to be over now because with the recent revelations about the COVID virus, and you know, like you were talking about, this is now going to become common knowledge out there with everybody that it doesn't spread like they said it would. It's not as viable as it was. And now they're saying there's more and more cases. Again, show us the facts about more and more cases. What are your facts?
Should we listen to leader tell us it's okay to rape and riot and pillage and beat up cops and don't practice social distancing while you're doing it and you don't have to wear a mask, you riot is okay, but then you know when it comes to Tulsa and rally, you can't have it. You're a danger to society. So, you know, in New York, in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, where a lot of Hasidics, just the day before they had the transgender, whatever, Black Lives Trans rally, fine. But then, you know, they welded shut the park where all these kids play in Hasidic. You know, they've lost the Jewish vote. They're losing the Black vote. And I don't know what's going to happen to the Democrat Party, but there's a new book by this guy named Horowitz who came out, and it's called Blitz. And we're going to get him on our program. Believe me, I believe what's going to happen in November is going to be something we have never seen before. It's going to be a landslide beatdown like we've never seen.
Yep, I agree. And I think that that's their biggest fear now. I think they just don't seem to think that we can follow the facts or dig up the facts and then put them out on our programs. And what they also, again, Scott, is they discount who we are as media people. You know, Red State Talk Radio has really taken off, and this form of journalism has skyrocketed, and people are listening. You know, our programming is up, way up, way up, and we get a lot of people that are tuning in all the time. And everywhere we go with New California, they're always talking about Red State Talk Radio and the great work that everybody's doing. So, what's on the future? We got the Republican.
If you don't mind,
go ahead.
Okay, so Tucker Carlson the other day said, you know, we're not bragging, but we were number one across the board, every channel. That didn't matter. It wasn't just news. It was every single channel during his time slot. He was number one. And I guarantee you, our message and Tucker's message is very similar. You know, very similar. We don't copy him. I think in a way he follows us because we're doing it early and he does it later. But for the most part, our messages are very similar. And this whole thing about like Black Lives Matter, don't be afraid to say you don't trust them or you don't support them. And don't be afraid to say MAGA lives matter. Don't be afraid to say all lives matter. Don't. That's just a ruse from the left. But the point, he said, no matter how it slices, you're not alone. The mainstream media is going to try to tell you have a third eye. They're going to try to tell you that if you don't endorse Black Lives Matter, you're racist. They're going to say all these things that are going to make you feel isolated. But just know that you're not alone. Red State Talk Radio's numbers are higher than they've ever been. And Tucker's point was his numbers were higher than they've ever been, that people are consuming this and finding the truth, that you are not alone. You may feel like you're alone because you're stuck in your house because of some draconian liberal that's running your state. But you are not alone, and that you need to feel empowered by that. Don't be discouraged by all that's happening around us. Don't be discouraged by that, because you are not alone. Your message does hold water.
What is
and
the dark net?
I think it's really important for us all to realize we're actually winning this argument. We just don't quite fully know it yet.
I agree, and it's really a testament to what we're doing in terms of the new stream media. I want to play this. I got the Eric Swalwell thing here. I want to play this so we can hear the context of this. I think it's just a wonderful statement by Matt Gaetz. So here we go.
The other side want to welcome and embrace and work with us on needed police reforms. Not to say that all cops are bad cops, but that we're seeing too many exceptions today. I say that as the son of a police chief, the brother to two police officers, and a former prosecutor myself. Things have to change. And no one's talking about, in this bill, defunding the police. We're talking about policing the police, and fixing the police, and reforming the police. But when I say we need to calibrate where we are all at, I've heard a lot of my colleagues on this side say Black Lives Matter. And I'll be honest that when that movement first emerged, I didn't necessarily understand what that meant. I heard people say all lives matter, and I thought, well, yeah, all lives matter, right? People would say, well, you have a white privilege, and I thought, well, you know, I grew up living in 13 different houses, going to 11 different schools, first in my family to go to college, that there was no privilege there. And then it was explained to me by my African-American friends that even though you and so many others may have had hardships, your opportunity was not limited because of the color of your skin. That's what people say when they talk about a white privilege, which is real. It should be acknowledged. The founder of Black Lives Matter, Alicia Garza, says, "Black Lives Matter doesn't mean your life isn't important. It means that black lives, which are seen as without value within white supremacy, are important to your liberation. Given the disproportionate impact state violence has on black lives, we understand that when black people in this country get free, the benefits will be wide-reaching and transformative for society as a whole. When we are able to end the hypercriminalization and sexualization of black people and end the poverty, control, and surveillance of black people, every single person in this world has a better shot at getting and staying free. When black people get free, everybody gets free. Black lives matter, period." And so I would yield to any of my colleagues on the Republican side who can unequivocally say, as we calibrate where we are right now, that black lives matter.
Thank the gentleman for yielding. Does the gentleman believe that all lives matter as well? I think black lives matter. I think
reclaiming
all lives
my
matter.
Time. Can anyone...
What do you think, Scott?
I think it's great.
Yep.
I was just, you know, by the way, while you were playing that, I was reading Donald Trump's latest tweets. He says, "Do you get the impression that the Supreme Court doesn't like me?"
Yeah, in fact, I think I can't remember if I brought that up at the very beginning of the hour. That's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, is to get that out there. The court, what's with Roberts, and, you know, what's with Gorsuch?
Between writing the Civil Rights Act and the DACA decision, the Supreme Court is eliminating the need for a legislative branch of government and relegating the executive branch to an administrative role of only enforcing orders from previous administrations. And then the other one is five leftists on SCOTUS decide that Obama can write an executive order, but Trump can't reverse it. This is contrary to centuries of precedent and case specific to real Donald Trump. Until today, every EO by any POTUS could be undone by another. This is corrupt. Build the wall.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, what's really funny is out here in California, and I pointed this out in the second hour, is that we had a judge, Judge Perry, out of Sutter County, California, where I live. Anyway, he slammed down the executive order of Gavin Newsom, his Executive Powers Act, because Gavin Newsom wanted to put out, you know, all the ballots to everybody, open it up for mail-in ballots for everybody. And, of course, that was an executive order that was not properly authorized under the Executive Powers Act that he has right now, and the judge pointed that out. It's the exact same case, and of course, they were using Donald Trump logic here. Hey, you can't do that, and of course, that's what happened in this case with the DACA decision.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're living in a really messed up world. Chief Justice Roberts, I think, is compromised.
I do too.
Think somebody has something on this guy. That's just disturbing. And you know what? The only way you're going to beat it, Paul, is you're going to beat it by winning this election. And we get two more chief justices that make Roberts completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I would consider him to be a liberal for the most part at this point. And, you know, two more justices is what we need. We can't have this 5-4 slant liberal anymore. We got to make it so it's a 7- you know, or 6-4 or 7-3.
I totally agree that one more term of Trump will certainly set it straight, because you'll be able to come up with a better caliber of judge. Yeah, there's no question about it. I'm a little disappointed in Gorsuch as well. Kavanaugh seems to be squared away, but Gorsuch and Roberts seem to be a little bit weak. And of course, I've heard too many times, and my own sources have told me over the years how Kavanaugh is Roberts is completely compromised. I've never really kind of gotten into the story land on that, but all my sources are so accurate all the time. I can't distrust the fact that they probably is very much compromised for the reasons that they say. And the reasons that they say are the pretty much consistent with the reasons I'm sure you understand too.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard about a flight manifest.
Right, right.
So, yeah, who knows? We don't know for sure, but there's something. There's something. Hey,
anyway, we got to run for time, brother. Thanks for being with us. Thanks,
right,
Scott. Anyway, we got to run for time. Thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Protecting your phone conversation.